The story begins with davening with a minyan with the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Dav Zayin Mubeis. Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman apparently didn't come to shul that day. So he said, "My time lo yasi ma'ale be kanisha litzluye. Why didn't you come to shul to daven?" Amale lo yachol. He said, "I couldn't make it." Amale lechnufi lemar aser v'litzli. So did you gather? Why didn't you gather 10 people in your home and daven there? Make a block minyan, the first block minyan. Amale trichali milsa. Nah, it's a tircha. So he says, "V'leim alei ma l'shulcha de tibura." Tell the gabbai in the shul, "Beinu de matz l'tibura leisiv l'di l'mar." Tell the gabbai in the shul to come and tell you when it's time to daven. Meaning, if they're davening in shul at the same time, that you should daven along with the people who are davening in shul. It says like that in the Shulchan Aruch also, that if you can't come to shul, so you should at least daven at the time that the people in shul are davening. The stipler already raises the fact that nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there's so many minyanim in the world. Any time you pick him out to daven, v'tzibur, the daven shmon esrei, you'll probably be davening with some minyan somewhere in the world. So the stipler says, no, it has to be a minyan in your town. So the poskim asks further, if you live in a town that has so many minyanim, you live in five towns, Queens, big, Teaneck, there's a minyan any time until 9:30, you're probably going to be davening together with some minyan in town. So do you get the idea of davening together with a minyan if you daven at any point throughout the morning? So the poskim quote this, they say in the name of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaser, Rabbi Neuwirth, that he suggested it should follow the same rules that we have with regards to other halachas by Kabbalah Shabbos. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, when your community, when your shul accepts Shabbos, so then that's considered a Kabbalah Shabbos for all members of the community. So the Mishnah Berurah already says, but what if you have two shuls in town? So let's say one shul is going to daven 40 minutes before the Shkia. So when they accept Shabbos, so that's a considered Kabbalah Shabbos on behalf of everyone in the community. I'm going to a shul that's davening later. So Mishnah Berurah says, no, it depends on your shul. Each shul, unfortunately this is in many ways, is their own mini community. So each shul, when they accept Shabbos, that's considered Kabbalah Shabbos for all members of that shul. What if within the shul there's two minyanim? Okay, so it's considered Kabbalah Shabbos for the people who daven at that minyan. That's a mini community. This doesn't apply, by the way, in the summertime. In the summertime, it might not apply. In the summertime, many shuls have the meaning of davening early. 7 o'clock, plaga mincha. Why do they want to daven early? Not because they want to be makabel Shabbos for an extra 2 hours. They want to daven early so they could eat supper at a normal time. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, if they're accepting Shabbos, not for the mitzvah of Shabbos, but so that they could eat supper at a normal time, then that is not binding force on the people who happen to not be there. If they're accepting Shabbos because of Kabbalah Shabbos, for extra Kedusha Shabbos, then it applies to all members of that community, and if you normally daven at that minyan, that would be a Kabbalah Shabbos for you. But if you don't normally daven, but if you're not accepting Shabbos because you want more Kedusha Shabbos, you're accepting Shabbos because you want to eat supper at a normal time, it doesn't affect the people who are not there. Therefore, Moshe writes that if, let's say, the wife doesn't come to shul, it's not that she's davening at another shul, but the wife is going to stay at home, and the husband's going to go to shul to make early Shabbos. So Moshe writes in the tshuva, she doesn't have to accept Shabbos at the same time that the husband is accepting Shabbos. If he's saying, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, she has to make sure she's not doing malacha past Mizmor Shel Yom. No. Because when he's accepting Shabbos, why is he accepting Shabbos early? He's accepting Shabbos early because he wants to eat supper at a normal time. Okay, so that doesn't affect her. So she doesn't have to accept Shabbos, really, when he accepts Shabbos. So when does she have to accept Shabbos? Probably before Hadlokas Neir Shabbos. The real Zman of Hadlokas Neir Shabbos, she has to accept Shabbos. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva where he says the same as Rav Moshe, that if you're only accepting Shabbos early because of you want to eat supper at a normal time, not because of Kedusha Shabbos, so that's not a binding force on the other members of the minyan or the other members of the community, and therefore it should not apply to the to his wife who's sitting at home. But he does write that she should accept Shabbos before he walks into the home. What is the reason that Kabbalah Shabbos, when the minyan accepts Shabbos, that that's considered Kabbalah Shabbos for all of the members of that community? So he quotes from Reb Chaim, because you can't have one community where half the people are keeping Shabbos, half the people, it's not Shabbos. For these people it is, for these people it isn't. That's confusing. It looks like there's two Torahs, there's two Judaisms. So therefore, when this mini community accepts Shabbos, that's considered Kabbalah Shabbos for all the members of the community. So if even though that doesn't apply, if the guy's just accepting Shabbos because he wants to eat supper early, Rav Sternbach argues in the same home, when the husband walks into the house, she's going to be doing malacha and he's going to be having Shabbos. Rav Sternbach said that goes against everything that the whole idea of the fact that Kabbalah Shabbos by the community is a Kabbalah Shabbos for everyone. How can it be in the same home, two Torahs? So therefore, Rav Schoenbach recommends that even if the wife does not have to be Mekabel Shabbos at the time that the husband is being Mekabel Shabbos in Shul, she should accept Shabbos before he walks in the door. She usually knows when that is. Anyway, so if you have two shuls in town, or two minyanim in the same shul, so Kabbalah Shabbos doesn't go based on when the first shul davens Shabbos Friday night. Depends on when the minyan that I normally daven at davens. That's my mini community. So Sotu says of Neuvert that with regards to davening with a minyan, if I miss the minyan and I want to daven at the same time that the minyan is davening at least chop around that idea of davening at the same time as the minyan, it has to be the minyan that I normally daven at. Can't be, I say, all right, look on the minyan schedule in town, oh, there's a minyan over there. Okay, I have in mind that minyan. It doesn't work. It has to be the minyan that I normally daven at. Then, if it's the minyan that I normally daven at, so then why did he have to send the gabbai of the shul over there? If it's the minyan I normally daven at, I know they daven at 7 o'clock, so I'll start davening at 7 o'clock. Why do I need that? Why did I go back to the Gemara? He said, why didn't you have the gabbai come and tell you when they're davening? What do you mean the gabbai come and tell me when they're... There's no schedule in the shul. I know what time they're davening. They daven at 7 o'clock, 7:15. Why do I need the gabbai of the shul to come and tell me when they're davening? So it's probably because the Mishnah Berurah calls from the Chayei Adam that tefillah b'tzibur is really not to start Psukei Dezimra together. It's not to say Yishtabach together. It's not to say Baruch Hu together. It's to daven Shmoneh Esrei together. That's the only inyan of tefillah b'tzibur. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes on further and he calls from the Prima Gadim that everyone has to start Shmoneh Esrei together. That's really tefillah b'tzibur. That's why sometimes it'll be at a minyan and Shliach Tzibur, especially if they're going fast, will turn around by before Gal Yisrael, will turn around to make sure there are 10 people standing ready to go with him to say Shmoneh Esrei. Why are they doing that? To make sure that you have 10 davening starting Shmoneh Esrei together. Because according to the Prima Gadim, that's really the inyan of tefillah b'tzibur. Rav Moshe disagrees with the Prima Gadim, and he said, what's the point of starting Shmoneh Esrei together? It's like the marathon. We all start, and then everyone goes at their own pace. No one's ever at the same place again. So he says, what's the point of starting together to begin with? So Moshe argues that the really tefillah b'tzibur just means that we are all davening Shmoneh Esrei at some point overlapping. 10 people are overlapping with the Shmoneh Esrei. You don't need to turn around and make sure there are 10 people waiting to start. As long as at some point there will be 10 people joining to daven Shmoneh Esrei together with us, that would also be considered a tefillah b'tzibur. That's what Rav Moshe recommends. A guy comes in late to shul, which never happened. No. A guy walks in late to shul and they already started Shmoneh Esrei. It happens a lot by Marv. So you should, Rav Moshe says, you should start davening Shmoneh Esrei. You shouldn't wait, especially if you're coming late for a mincha. So some people wait till after the Shliach Tzibur starts. It's once they miss the beginning, they start Chazar, they daven with the Shliach Tzibur. So Rav Moshe writes, no, you shouldn't do that, because it's still tefillah b'tzibur. Even though I walked in and they started Shmoneh Esrei, I can still get tefillah b'tzibur if I'll daven together while the tzibur is davening Shmoneh Esrei. I'll also daven Shmoneh Esrei. That's also considered to be a tefillah b'tzibur. If I'm going to miss Kaddish and Kedusha, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, Kedusha is preferable to tefillah b'tzibur, which we'll get to later. Saying Kedusha, if I'm going to miss Kedusha with the tzibur, because they're up to Modim, or whatever, the Shliach Tzibur is up to Modim, and I'm going to start Shmoneh Esrei now, and I won't finish before he starts Kedusha, Kedusha takes preference to tefillah b'tzibur. But if I can finish before he's going to get up to Kedusha, then that is what you should do, because that's also tefillah b'tzibur, saying Shmoneh Esrei at some point overlapping with the tzibur. Anyway, so since tefillah b'tzibur means specifically Shmoneh Esrei, so you have to have the gabbai come and tell him, not when do they start, the start time. Everybody knows the start time. I know it's my minion, it's the minion I always dominate. But it doesn't help the start time. It has to be specifically the Shmoneh Esrei should be together. So therefore you have to have the shliach come and tell him when are they dominating. But that's not the striking part of this Gemara. The striking part of this Gemara is, it sounds like the Gemara continues, that he says to him, why didn't you have the guy come to you and tell you when is the tzibur davening? So Amalei, my kuli hai, why? What are you getting so excited about? Have the guy come and tell me when they're davening Shmoneh Esrei? Amalei, damar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean in Tehillim? Vani tfigasi yochai Hashem eis ratzain, that my tfigah should come to you, Ribbono shel Olam, at a time that it will be accepted. Emosai eis ratzon. When is the time that tefillah is accepted? B'shosh she'tzibur mispalim. At the time that the tzibur is davening, that's when tefillah has a better chance of being accepted. There's such a similar gemara in Maseches Brachos, the next source. Tanya Abba bin Yomin Oimer, ein tefillah shel adam nishmas, elo bebeis haknesses. The tefillah of a person is only heard in shul. Shenema Lishmel Arino Velatfila. Because the Pasuk says in Malachim that Kadosh Baruch Hu hears the cries and the tefillah. B'makom rina sham tehi tefillah. In the place where we cry out, where do we gather together to cry out to Hashem in shul? So sham tehi tefillah. That's where a person should daven is in shul. Meaning you have a better chance of your tefillah being accepted. Where will HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to our tefillos is in shul if we're davening with a minyan. In fact, the Rambam writes, even if a person is davening b'yachidos, it's preferable to daven in shul. Let's say a guy misses a minyan. So and he wants to, there is no other minyan anymore. So he should daven, he should try and daven in a shul. Because there's a better chance that the tefillah is heard in a shul. One of my personal bugaboos is I see, sometimes you see this over here in the Beis Medrash. As a guy wakes up late, he missed all the minyanim in YU, which is hard to do. Okay. He missed all the minyanim over here that we have in the yeshiva, and then what does he do? So 10 o'clock he buckles in with his talus and his tefillin and whatever. And if you're davening in the shul, I wouldn't make a public statement that I missed davening today and here I am to daven in the shul at some later point in the morning. I think it means a person could do it in an inconspicuous fashion. He'll walk into his resnoshim or something. He'll walk into a place in the shul where it's not going to be that obvious. So it's better to daven in the shul, even if he's b'yachidus. He's not davening with a minyan, because if you daven in a shul, you have a better chance that your tefillah will be answered. Yeah.
Does Rina mean
Tamar? Maybe in some context. I think the just the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk, Rashi says it means Tza'aka, Zu Tefillah. Rashi and that Gemara and Brachas. There's even a Machlokes HaAchronim, the Mishkanes Yaakov was asked about the following. The Mishkanes Yaakov was asked, is a tshuva, which is preferable? Let's say there's a block minion for Maariv Motzei Shabbos. So I could either daven at the Motzei Shabbos block minion, which is not in the shul, but it's Betzibur, or I could go to the shul. I said, there's so many block minyanim, there's no minion in the shul anymore. So I could either daven at the block minion on the block, or I could go to the shul and daven b'yachidus. Which is preferable, to go to the shul and daven b'yachidus, or to daven at the block minion, which is Betzibur? So Mishkanes Yaakov writes, it's preferable to daven in shul b'yachidus. Beis HaKnesses b'yachidus takes preference. How does he know? Because the Gemara said, "Ein tefilah shel adam nishma." So Beis HaKnesses, your tefilah is only heard in shul. So it's better to go to shul even than daven with a tzibur. The Tzlach, the Noda Behuda on that Gemara, Maseches Brachos, disagrees, and he says, "No, read the Gemara carefully." It says, "Ein tefilah shel adam." If you're b'yachidus, your tefilah is not heard unless you're in shul. If you're with a tzibur, so then your tefillah will be heard even if you're not in shul. So the Tzlach argues it's better to daven with a tzibur rather than daven b'yachidus in a shul against the Mishkanes Yaakov. And in fact, there's another girsa in that Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out there's another girsa in the Gemara. Ain't tefillah shel adam mishmasa o b'tzibur, not b'beis hakneses. So the Tzlach says if you have this conflict between the block minion and daven b'yachidus in the shul, so it's better to daven with the block minion rather than to daven b'yachidus in shul. Yeah. Unless you want your living room to take on Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, which you probably don't want, then the next time you do remodeling in the base in your living room, you're gonna have a lot of shilas. You don't want that. Also, I'm not sure you could have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses without a Sefer Torah there. I'm not sure. Meaning if it's not, if you have one, okay. So then you really have big shilas. You want to live on top of the shul now, yeah. Yeah, well, then we need another shiur just for that. Anyway, but let's get back to the first source. Let's go back to the first source, and this will take us into where we want to go. The first source started again. Rav Nachman didn't come to shul. So he asked, "Why didn't you come to shul?" "I couldn't come. Lo yachil, I couldn't come." So he said, "Why didn't you gather 10 minyan in your home? Why didn't you gather 10 people in your home and make a minyan over there?" She said, "No, tricha li milsa. It's a tircha." What do you mean it's a tircha? What kind of response is that? It's a tircha. Gather 10 people in the home, daven like that. Okay, he couldn't come to shul, but daven, he's stuck in the house. So daven, bring 10 people to the shul, to the house. No, it's a tircha. What do you mean, lulav? I asked, how come you didn't take lulav? Tircha, go to Brooklyn, buy a lulav. I said, tircha. Matzah. Fight off everybody in the grocery store. I don't want matzah. Next year. What do you mean, tricha li milsa? So in the Sefer Emek Bracha, which is a Talmud, one of the prominent Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Pameramchik, he's Medayik in the Gemara, you see from here that it's not an obligation to daven with a tzibur. If it would be an obligation, a mitzvah, midrabanan, to daven with a tzibur, so then what kind of response is tricha li milsa? It's a tircha. It's not a chiv midrabanan. Rather, what is it? It's a priority. If I want my tefillah to be answered, what should I do? Daven with a tzibur. Meaning, so I have a lot of priorities in life. So one of the things, if I want this, my tefillah should be answered, I should try and daven with a tzibur. I should try and daven in a Beis HaKnesses. All these things help in allowing my tefillah to be mekubal. But it's not the fact that it's a formal, necessarily a chiyuv, to daven with a tzibur. And he's medayik like that, he reads like that into the language of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, in Parakhes Halacha Aleph over there, source number 3, if you look at the second line, right in the middle of the line, Vo yispalo biyachid, kozman sheyachol yispalo matzibur. A person shouldn't daven biyachidus if he has the opportunity to daven in a tzibur. It's a very funny way, strange way, of writing that there is a chiyuv to daven with a minyan. The Rambam starts off, tefilas hatzibur nishmas tamid. The tefilah of the tzibur is always heard. Therefore, tzarech adam mishtatef mimolim atzibur. A person should try and be mishtatef with a tzibur, and don't daven biyachidus if you can daven with a tzibur. That's not the way the Rambam formulates obligations. What it sounds like from the Rambam, rather, is that this is, if you want your tefillah to be answered, you should daven with the tzibur. It's a good idea. But not necessarily that there is a formal chiyuv. Shabbos and Yom Tif are probably different. The Ramban, this is the source number 4 in his Perish and Parshas Emor, comments on the Pasuk Mikroi, Elehei Moyadai, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Moyadai Hashem Ashetikru Oysam Mikroi Kodesh. That the Moyadim, the first of the Moyadim, of course, in Parshas Emor is Shabbos. People forget. The first of the Moyadim is Shabbos. So Shabbos and Yom Tif are called Mikroi Kodesh, holy gatherings. In what sense are they holy gatherings? Does it mean there's a Kalbach meaning or something? So the Pashup Shad is there were holy gatherings way before Rav Shlomo Kalbach. What does a holy gathering mean? On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we gather together when it's a holy day to call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Mikroi Kodesh means. So therefore the Ramban writes that there is a Chiyuv Midaraisa maybe. That's the whole Indian Mikroi Kodesh means. We gather together in Shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is quoted Lamaisa by the Prima Gadim on Shulchan Aruch, that there is a idea, probably a mitzvah, on Shabbos and Yom Tov to come to Shul, to daven with a minyan, as a kiyum in the pasuk of Mikroi Kodesh, holy gatherings. This is Nogei Lamaisa in many areas. It's going to be Nogei Lamaisa to us, but it's Nogei Lamaisa elsewhere, is that on Hilchos Shabbos, the Shaila comes up, if let's say a person lives in an area where there is an Eruv, or doesn't hold of the Eruv, and the area is not a Rosh HaRabim, but the area, which is most areas, is a Carmelis. You're not allowed to carry their midrabanan. So, but the guy, let's say, lives in an area where you're not allowed to carry midrabanan, and the first person is unfortunately in a wheelchair. So, is he allowed to have a nachri push him to shul? So, what should be the heta to a nachri to push him to shul? The answer is a nachri, a mural nachri is midrabanan. Pushing in a Carmelis is also midrabanan. And it's a shvus to shvus, b'makom mitzvah. Shvus to shvus is mutter b'makom mitzvah, and here too it's a shvus to shvus b'makom what mitzvah? The mitzvah of going to shul. He could daven at home. I don't need the milah nachri to daven. I don't need to go to the shul to daven. I could daven in my house. No, but he wants to do what? To daven with a minyan. So many poskim write that you can be makel to have a nachri push the fellow in the wheelchair through the karmus in order to get the shul to daven with a minyan. The Chavos Yoyer has a tshuva where he says, no, you can't. You know why? Davening with a minyan is not a chiyuv. Davening with a minyan is a priority. It's not a mitzvah. She says, who says you can have the guy, if we're saying like the Emek Bracha, like Abayi Pomeranchik, the guy said, Tircha, the meal, so we're together, a minyan, it's a tircha. What do you mean it's a tircha? The answer is, davening with a minyan is only a priority, not necessarily a chiyuv. So it's not an obligation. So then who says, there's no mitzvah necessarily to daven with the tzibur, maybe I can't have a nachri push the guy in the wheelchair through the karmos in order to get to shul. Shvus to shvus, b'makom no mitzvah. No mitzvah necessary for him to daven with the tzibur. So it could be that most of the poskim don't necessarily assume, the reason why we're making on that shaila is not necessarily because we assume that in general there is a chiyuv to daven with a minyan. It might just be so that my tefillah is accepted. It's a priority. If I want my tefillah to be, it's a type. If I want my tefillah to be accepted, I should daven with a minyan. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, the only time you get the shaila is Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then it's an issur to carry. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it could be everyone agrees, like the Ramban said, that that's Mikroi Kodesh, and there, of course, there is an inyan, a mitzvah perhaps, a mitzvah maybe even midaraisa, to daven with a minyan. But in general, the opinion of the Emek Bracha, and as we'll see others, was that davening with a minyan is basically a priority, not really even a chiyuv midarabanan.
So, Mr. Kedusha and everything,
sorry, the minyan. Kedusha. Right, but I'm not sure you necessarily have a chiyuv to go to shul to be part of that. That might be, if I'm in shul, I have a mitzvah to answer, or it might be, we'll see a fulfillment midoraisa in the pasuk v'nikdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael. But I don't necessarily know if that's a chiyuv hayachid that I should go and be mitzarif to a kaddish. Rav Moshe and the Tshuva though disagrees with the Emek Bracha, and he writes consistently and explicitly that the idea of davening with a minyan is not just an idea; it's a chiyuv midorabanan to daven with a minyan. Maybe what motivated them to make such a chiyuv is because my tefillah has a better chance of being answered. That's what the Gemara means. But once that motivation has been articulated, Rav Moshe writes that there became a chiyuv midorabanan to daven with a minyan. The Minchas Yitzchak also has many tshuvas like that. That there is a chiyuv midorabanan to daven with a minyan. What is Rav Moshe's source? Rav Moshe's source is from a Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara says that how the Gemara is discussing a person who's traveling by foot. So Gemara says, how far does he have? Let's say he's traveling by foot and he plans on spending the night over here, or he plans on lodging over here. How far does he have to go out of his way to go to a minyan? Let's say here where he's going to stay, there is no minyan. How far does he have to go out of his way to chop a minyan? So Gemara says, yeah, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that he has to go a mil out of his way. Mil there and a mil back. That's how far he has to go to daven with a minyan. That's the same shia that a person has to walk for water. If, let's say, a person is traveling and he realizes he wants to have a sandwich, but he has no water to wash. So how far does he have to walk to get water to wash in order to eat his sandwich? Well, what's he going to do if he doesn't find water? Shulchan Aruch says he can wrap his hands up with towels and wrap the sandwich up, and he can eat it without touching the sandwich like that. But b'di'evit, you can eat a sandwich like that without washing your hands. Why can't you do that all the time? So we don't do that all the time because you're afraid you might come to touch the sandwich. Also, you evaded the mitzvah of washing the tilos yadayim, which isn't a good thing. But the Gemara, so the Shulchan Aruch discusses it, that's if you get stuck. How far is called getting stuck? How far do I have to walk to get water from the tilos yadayim? So Gemara says a mil there and a mil back. Nowadays that people are not traveling by foot, people are traveling with more advanced modes of transportation. So then, how do you gauge a mil there and a mil back? So the Bir Halacha writes, by Netilas Yadayim, it depends on time. How long is a mil? Somewhere between, as we know from Pesach, somewhere between 18 minutes and 22 minutes. So for argument's sake, I say 20 minutes is a mil. So if he has to drive his car 20 minutes to go get water, meaning 20 minutes out of his way and 20 minutes back. So to a minyan, if the guy is staying somewhere where there's no business trip and there's no minyan nearby, but there is a minyan, it happens a lot. Guy's staying at downtown somewhere and there's no minyan downtown in the city, but there is a minyan in the suburbs. So how far does he have to drive to go to the minyan? If it's 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back, he has to go. More than that, he doesn't have to go.
Isn't there a difference between going back and going forward?
That's what Gemara says. But this is talking about if it's out of his way, completely out of his way. The reason it's you have to go further because that's on my way, just further on my trip. I'm talking about out of my way. I'm staying downtown. There's no minyan downtown. And I'm having my meetings downtown. I'm going out of my way to the suburbs. So you have to travel a mil there and a mil back. It goes based on time. By the way, this is true. Let's say a person wakes up late in the morning. So he could either, there's two options. He could either daven b'yechidus or go to the next minyan in the shul. So if he davens b'yechidus, he'll be able to leave for work on time. Let's say he woke up 15 minutes late. You wake up 15 minutes late, some shuls would go, everything is over by the time you get there. So he could daven b'yechidus in the house, or he could go to the next minyan. The problem is, if he goes to the next minyan, he's going to come late to work. His whole day will be thrown off. So how late does he have to come to work? Can he be where you could at that point say, you know what, I'm going to daven b'yechidus, I'm not going to daven in the shul at the next minyan? So they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv that it's the same shear. If I'm going to be 40 minutes late, because here I'm going 20 minutes to the suburbs and 20 minutes back to downtown, that I have to do. More than that, not. So I'm really spending 40 minutes of my time to go to minyan. That I'm obligated, it says in the Shulchan Aruch you should do. More than that, you don't have to do. So Rabbi Yashiv said, if you're going to be more than 40 minutes late from your normal schedule, so then you don't have to, it's better to daven, you can daven b'yechidus in the house rather than going to the next minyan in the shul. If it's less than 40 minutes, you should go to the shul.
Does that include davening time?
What? I'm sorry?
Traveling.
No, you're going to be 40 minutes late.
Including davening time.
No, if going to the minyan will cost you 40 minutes. If either way, you're going to have to daven for 20 minutes. Going to the minyan shouldn't cost you more than 40 minutes. Same shear. It's the same shear by Netilas Yadayim. So Moshe writes, how can we give a shear for something that's only a priority? If it's only a priority, you go to daven, not only, it's important, but if I want my tefillos to be answered, I should daven with a meaning. Then how can you tell me, if it's this far, you have to do it, if it's that far, you don't have to do it? It sounds from the very way we are, you know, that the way that Sif in Shulchan Aruch goes, is that that it sounds like it's a chiyuv, especially from the fact that we equated it with netilas yadayim, which also sounds like a chiyuv to do, so then it sounds like davening in netilas yadayim or davening with a minyan. And netilas yadayim should be in the same category, and it sounds like both are really chiyuv and midrabanan. The Emek Bracha, though, would argue the following, and it's a strong argument. The Emek Bracha argues, yeah, you're right, the Shulchan Aruch says there's a shir. But let me ask you a question. Let's say the matzah bakery is more than 40 minutes away. You have to go get matzah? Of course you have to go get matzah. Let's say to buy a lulav and an eserig costs you 40 minutes. It always costs more than 40 minutes. So do you have to go buy a lulav and an eserig? So how could it be then that davening betzibur only cost 40 minutes? Yes, more than 40 minutes? No, that's too much. What do you mean? If it's a chiyuv midrabanan, of course, even if it costs you more than 40 minutes, you have to do it. Or, for example, it says in the Ramah that you normally don't have to pay people to come to a minyan. Let's say you live in a dying, dwindling community, and they have a hard time making a weekday minyan. Do you have to pay people to come to the minyan? So it says in the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to pay people to come. On Yomim Noraim, the Ramah says you should pay people to come, but during the week, not. You can. Some minyanim do that, but you don't have to. On Yomim Noraim, no, you should do it. Why is Yomim Noraim, and we know why Yomim Noraim is unique, but I believe Yomim Noraim doesn't specifically mean Yomim Noraim, it means Shabbos and Yom Tov, all Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that was the Ramban, that it's Mikra Kodesh, it's a mitzvah, midaraisa maybe, to daven with a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So all Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should make sure that there's a minyan in the town, even if it means hiring people to come. But during the week, you don't have to pay people to come. Why don't you have to pay people to come? If davening with a minyan is a mitzvah midrabanan, you should have to pay people. Generally speaking, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Sukkah that you have to pay up to a fifth of your nechasim, up to a fifth of your wealth, in order to fulfill a mitzvah. You have to pay money to get an eserig. You have to pay money to buy a lulav. You pay money for hadlakas neiros Chanukah, for matzah. How come I don't have to pay money to daven with a minyan? Why is this different? So the Emek Bracha says, from the fact that there are so many limitations on this, it sounds like that we're not giving regulations about a mitzvah, but rather telling you how far should you go to fulfill the priority of davening with the tzibur, to make sure that my tefillah is accepted. So you should go 40 minutes to make sure that your tefillah is accepted. More than that already, says the Emek Bracha, you don't have to go. But you see from here, from the fact that it's so limited, that it's not a chiyuv midrabanan at all. Rather, what is it? It is a priority to make sure that my tefillah is accepted. Unless and you only have to go so far.
Unless you say that's how Chachamim established the chiyuv.
So that's where Moshe argues. Where Moshe argues that this chiyuv is unique. It is a chiyuv, in fact, to daven with a minyan, but this chiyuv they limited. So the Emek Bracha argues, why did they limit so much this chiyuv? If it's a real chiyuv, why did they limit it? Why is it different than all other mitzvahs midrabanan, which are not limited? But that's what Ramosha argues. He's aware of this problem. And Ramosha makes your exact argument. That this chiyuv midrabanan was obviously limited by Chazal. That more than 40 minutes, they said, all right, Einas Rachmana Patre. If the minyan is 50 minutes away, it's going to cost you more than 40 minutes. If it's a half an hour away, by this mitzvah, that's called an Einas. If a lulav is a half an hour away, it's not called an Einas. If Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah is a half an hour away, it's not called an Einas. You're not called, it's by accident, I can't fulfill the mitzvah. But by chiyuv to daven with a minyan, Ramosha writes, here they made a unique categorization that this is called an Einas. This should also be true, by the way, parenthetically. You don't have to pay money. This is according to everybody. You don't have to pay money to daven with a minyan. So therefore, if a person comes late to work, we should have mentioned this before, if a person comes late to work and he's going to lose money, let's say they're going to dock him pay, or I don't know, Mr. Patient or whatever, he's going to lose money by coming late to work. So also then, even if you're not going to come 40 minutes late, but you put your whole job in jeopardy. So then they quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman, the same way I don't have to pay people to come and daven in my dwindling community, I also don't have to lose money by coming late to work. And that's according to everybody. But the question is that because that's called an oinus? This is really a mitzvah to daven with a minyan, but here that's called an oinus? Or no, maybe the pshat is like the Emek Bracha, that davening with a minyan is not a mitzvah at all, it rather is an order that my tefillah should be accepted, and I didn't have to go that far in order that my tefillah should be accepted. This machlekes hachronim between Rav Moshe and Emek Brocha might in fact be a machlekes harishonim in the Sefer Tefillah Kehilchasa by Rabbi Yitzchak Fuchs, the same author as the Halichos Bas Yisrael. Also has a Sefer all on Tefillah B'Tzibur called Tefillah B'Tzibur. So in the Sefer Tefillah B'Tzibur, he suggests that this in fact is a machlekes harishonim on a famous Gemara Maseches Brochas. The Gemara Maseches Brochas and Daf Mem Zayin Mebeis, that's source number 6, says at one time Rabbi Eliezer came into shul and there wasn't a minyan. Nichnas lebeis haknesset lemotza asara, but he had his eved with him, Tevi Avdoi. So v'shichrer Avdoi v'shlima l'asara, he was meshachrer his eved, and he that made the minyan. When the eved is an eved kanani, so he's not mitzarev to the minyan. But when he becomes freed, he becomes a full-fledged Yisrael, so then he is mitzarev to the minyan. Shichre in lo, shichre lo. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Ovid Hachi, how is he allowed to be free the Eved in order to be Mashal Neminyan? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Meshachar Avdoi Oiver Basay. If you're Meshachar and Eved, you have violated a mitzvah Sasei. What mitzvah Sasei have you violated? Lo Oilam Bohem Tavodu. That they should always serve you. You're not supposed to free an Eved. So the Gemara says, no, the Dvar Mitzvah Shiny. This was for the purpose of a mitzvah. What mitzvah? We'll have to see. Mitzvah b'avera, the Gemara says, nah, but it's a mitzvah b'avera. You did an avera in order to enable your accomplishment of a mitzvah. That's a problem. So the Gemara says, no, mitzvah derabim shiny. A mitzvah derabim is unique. It somehow overrides the problem of a mitzvah b'avera. But what mitzvah are we talking about here? What's the mitzvah we're talking about? So Rashi and the Rosh on the Gemara say, Kaddish and Kedusha. Kaddish and Kedusha. What is the mitzvah of Kaddish and Kedusha based on? That's based on the Pasuk and Parshas. Emor v'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael. You should make me holy in the presence of Klal Yisrael. So Kaddish and Kedusha, we know, to answer Kaddish and Kedusha is a mitzvah min derabbanan. Whether I have to go to shul for that express purpose, maybe is a different story. But once I'm there to be mitzvah to the minyan and to answer Kaddish and Kedusha, it's certainly a fulfillment of a mitzvah midaraisa v'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael. So that could be what the mitzvah that the Gemara is talking about. Tosis though writes, in that Gemara, that's the next source, Tosis writes that it's talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur. It's talking about davening with a minion. Why didn't Rashi and the Rosh say davening with a minion? That's the obvious choice, davening with a minion. So the Sefer Tefillah B'Tzibur suggests that it could be Rashi and the Rosh feel there is no mitzvah to daven with a minion. You couldn't say that. It's a priority. It's a priority that my Tefillah should be answered. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I have an obligation to daven with a minion. So therefore, the Gemara couldn't say Tefillah B'Tzibur. And Tosis feels that davening with a minyan is not just a priority that my tefillah should be answered, it is in fact is a mitzvah midrabbanan. So therefore, when the Gemara said mitzvah derabim shani, what mitzvah is it referring to? It's referring to Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the problem is, you're giving up a mitzvah midaraisa of Lo'olam Bahem Tavodu for a mitzvah midrabbanan of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So that's why Tosis there asks on the Bahag. The Bahag had the rule that a mitzvah midaraisa trumps a mitzvah midrabbanan. Lo'olam Bahem Tavodu then should have trumped Tefillah B'Tzibur. If Tefillah B'Tzibur is a chiyuv, it's only a chiyuv midrabbanan. How then can Tefillah B'Tzibur trump the mitzvah midaraisa of Lo'olam Bahem Tavodu? The Bahag's opinion was in general that a mitzvah midaraisa trumps a chiyuv midrabbanan. The Bahag is discussing if a person lo'yaleinu loses a karav on Yom Tov Sheni, and they bury the mace bo bayom on Yom Tov Sheni. So then the first day of Avelus is Doraisa. It's rare. You only have a first, according to some Rishonim, you only have Avelus Doraisa if it's the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura. So if let's say it's the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura on Yom Tov Sheni, so the Bahag's opinion was you should be Noyeg Avelus. That was a unique opinion of the Bahag. We all know that if a person loses a Karav on Chol HaMoed, so you start counting Shiva on Yom Tov Sheni. But you know, there's no Avelus on Yom Tov Sheni. You start counting Shiva then, because Shiva is the Rabbanon, and of Yom Tov Sheni is the Rabbanon, so you start counting Shiva on Yom Tov Sheni. The Bahag meant you should even sit Avelus on Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Because the mitzvah of Avelus should be Doiche Yom Tov Sheni, which is only the Rabbanon. It should take precedence over Yom Tov Sheni, which is only the Rabbanon. Doraisa trumps the Rabbanon. So Tosfos asks in the Bahag, but the Gemara here says that the Rabbanon of davening with a minion is trumping La'olam behem tavodu, that you should not free an eved. That's Tosfos' question on the Bahag. But and the many Achronim explain the Bahag in the following way. The Rav suggested that the in the shiurim that he gave Zeichah Nishmas' father, that it could be the pshat and the bahag is the following, in which case this has nothing to do with our discussion. He suggested that perhaps the pshat and the bahag is that even though davening with a minyan might only be a chiyuv midrabbanan, might not even be a chiyuv midrabbanan, but if one does do so, you fulfill a mitzvah midoraisa. You don't have a chiyuv to do so. Maybe you don't even have a chiyuv. Maybe you have a chiyuv midrabbanan, maybe not. That's the issue we're discussing. But if you, that's not what the Gemara is talking about, though. What the Gemara is talking about, though, if you do it, you will be in fulfillment of a mitzvah midoraisa v'nikdashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael. I made HaKadosh Baruch Hu kadosh in the presence of Klal Yisrael. So it could be, said the Rav, that maybe the Bahag is not, maybe Tosis doesn't mean that there's a mitzvah, a formal obligation to daven with a minyan if I'm sitting at home. What it means is if I will go to shul and daven, I will get a fulfillment of midoraisa of davening with a tzibur. It doesn't necessarily mean I have a formal obligation to do so. And that's why the Bahag is not a problem for the Bahag. The Bahag said, you know why davening with a minyan trumped Lo'olam Bahem Tavodu? Because if you daven with a minyan, you will also be in fulfillment of a daraisa. Well, the rice of Inikdashi Besoch Ben Yisrael.
At the point where you have nine men and the Eved is still an Eved, at that point the rice trumps the possibility that I could make a bin. So I'm being over the rice at that moment. I haven't yet made the Eved.
You're not being over in a Daraisa.
I mean, I would be.
You're being, you're right. You're forgiving. You're giving up on a Daraisa for something which is not yet an obligation.
Right.
But either way, it's a problem for the Bahag. A Darabanan can't trump a Daraisa. So I'm saying, even if it is a chiyuv midrabbanan, a derabbanan can't trump a doraisa. So then once you have to say that no, what it means is since I will in the end be in fulfillment of a doraisa, so I can push aside another doraisa, well then maybe you don't see from here anything with regards to whether or not there is a chiyuv to go to shul. Maybe not.
Also, that's why I said yes, it's true that the time that I'm freeing the Eved, uh-huh, I'm over on the, I'm bevata level of Tavod. But it will lead to a mitzvah rabbim. That's why the Maharishi asks, it's mitzvah babera. Because it's exactly what you said. The answer to mitzvah rabbim shani says, but the kiyum will be according to Bag Dorai. So that's what justifies
right. This.
Right.
So even though I don't think that was the, yes, I'm sorry.
It's interesting. You mentioned that the responsibilities of Dovership and Dusha, the Haitian and Abba, except the Shabbat.
Right, if you do that, you'll also be in fulfillment of that.
There's another element I'd like to bring out to suggest. The Imam Bavatha's acting sponsor on the basis, it says there, Dali Fenemi Atu Kuiman. So the answer also should be Hashem is the children of the Lord. But it says, Hamelech Malchay Abu from a Kurdish birth. Okay, so you go to the shul, we see the shaliach tzibur, and they're dressed in jeans, and they're dressed in t-shirts, and you know, you're talking about all these things. To me, it's a shandam, I'm ashamed to go to shul. So what's the choice? That, you know, there are workers involved here. Stay home and back and
we're going to get to your case. We'll get to your case. Not exactly your case. So along the lines of your case. I think even though it's not a machlokas, I don't think that machlokas are rishonim. What is the mitzvah to rabim of the Gemara? Why he freed his eved? Is that tefillah b'tzibur? Is that kaddish and kedusha relates necessarily to our issue? But I think our issue is in fact machlokas are rishonim, but with regards to a different Gemara. The Gemara there in source 8 discusses Abaye's practice of where he davened. The Gemara says Amar Abaye meresh havi garisna begoy beisa. Initially, he would daven at home. He would learn at home, umatzlina bebe knishta, and he would daven in shul. But then he heard the statement, damer b'chia barami mishmei du'ula, which made him change his practice. What did he hear? Miyoyim shechar beis hamikdash einu la kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo, elo abra amo she'alocha bovad. When the beis hamikdash was kaim, a kadosh baruch hu resided in the beis hamikdash. Now that there's no longer beis hamikdash, where does a kadosh baruch hu reside? He resides in the arba amo she'alocha. Now that he heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only resides in the Arba Amos HaAlocha, Lo Havi Matzlino Elehechid HaGarisna. Now he will only daven in the Beis HaMedrash where he learns. That's where he would daven, was the Beis HaMedrash. What do you mean? So it sounds like from the Gemara, you're supposed to daven in the Beis HaMedrash. You have a better chance of your tefillah being answered in the Beis HaMedrash. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You want to go see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Go to the Beis HaMedrash. He's Eino HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'loma L'dal Amos HaAlocha Bovad. So what does this mean? A person, there's an idea of davening in the Beis HaMedrash. Are you supposed to daven in the Beis HaMedrash? I said there's no minyan in the Beis HaMedrash. He used to learn in his house. There's no minyan in his house. So now, Where is he supposed to daven? In his house. But there's no minyan there. Are you supposed to daven where you learn in a Beis HaMedrash, even if there's no minyan there? Or no, only if there's a minyan there? So the opinion of the Rambam, and the Torah, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is that you're not supposed to daven in a Beis HaMedrash unless there's a minyan there. If there's a minyan there, it's preferable to daven in a Beis HaMedrash over a Beis HaKnesses. That's preferable. Best place to daven is a Beis HaMedrash over a Beis HaKnesses. But that's provided there's a minyan there. If there's no minyan there, then it's preferable to daven in a Beis HaKnesses. That's the opinion of the Rambam and the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The opinion, though, of the other Rishonim, of the Rabbeinu Yonah, of Maseches Brachos, and the Chachmei Tzarfas, and this is quoted by the Ramah, is that it's preferable to daven in a Beis HaMedrash, even be Yechidus, rather than davening in a Shul B'tzibur. Even be Yechidus, rather than davening in a Shul B'tzibur. The Ramah says you shouldn't do so because of the impression that it gives. People think you shouldn't daven with a minion. And then the Ramah says you have to be very consistent. That means you can't leave the Beis HaMedrash for coffee and to pick up a phone call and this and that, because then if you leave the Beis HaMedrash gratis, you're constantly leaving the Beis HaMedrash, it looks disingenuous when it comes time to a B'tzibur. Oh, now I'm stuck here. I won't leave the Beis HaMedrash. So Ramah says if you're constantly leaving the Beis HaMedrash, you can't all of a sudden now play the card, I don't want to leave the Beis HaMedrash to daven with a minion. But if a person is that committed, that he's constantly in the Beis HaMedrash, and it won't give a negative impression, so Ramah writes, it's preferable to daven in a Beis HaMedrash over davening in a Beis HaKnesses, even though now in the Beis HaMedrash he's only going to daven via Chidus. What are they arguing about? So it seems to me that they're arguing about this issue. If davening with a Tzibur is a Chiyuv, so then you can't say, well, davening in a Beis HaMedrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there, I want to go see him. No, but you have to daven with a Tzibur. So then the Shulchan Aruch says, so davening with a minyan takes precedence over davening in a Beis HaMedrash. But the Ramah and the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Chachmei Tzarfas are of the opinion davening with a minion is so that my tefillah should be answered. It's a priority, an important priority. But it's so my tefillah should be answered. So davening with a Beis HaMedrash also helps my tefillah should be to be answered. So which one takes precedence? So Ramah says davening Beis HaMedrash takes precedence. That's a greater priority in the pecking order of priorities of tefillah being answered. So davening Beis HaMedrash is preferable, has a better chance of being answered than davening with a minion. We had at the beginning a machlokes between the Mishkanes Yaakov and the Tzlach with regards to davening in shul versus davening with a tzibur. The Mishkanes Yaakov was asked, is it better to daven in the block minion or with a tzibur or to daven in shul be yechidus? The Mishkanes Yaakov says, better to daven in shul be yechidus. The Mishkanes Yaakov is assuming that tefillah b'tzibur is not a chiyuv. If tefillah b'tzibur is a chiyuv, you can't ask shaylos like that. Davening in a shul is not a chiyuv. That's how my tefillah should be answered. Davening with a minion is a chiyuv. So what do you can't compare the two. The Mishkanes Yaakov, from the very fact that he compares the two and he says davening with a Beis HaKnesses is better than davening with a minion, is putting them on a list, and which one, a pecking order, and which one takes precedence. So he says with in shul is better than davening with a tzibur. And when the Tzlach says that, yeah, no, you have to daven with a block minion rather than davening in shul be a chidus, he seems to be assuming that davening with a tzibur is a chiyuv. So don't start hacking, well, you're davening in the shul, so now that you feel it's a better chance of being answered, maybe that should trump davening with a minion. The answer is no. Davening with a minion is a chiyuv. Davening in shul is a priority.
That's
but
a
from the...
They have shiur in shul after davening, sit down and learn.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's the best. Alamayas. That's Alamayas. And you should be there for both.
I'm
not trying to say it's better to daven in the Beis Medrash minion in the shul. If I say you have two minyanim in the shul, then it's Sfarad in the Beis Medrash and then it's Ashkenaz in the shul, that is better to daven in that Beis Medrash. I don't know. The shul is probably all one. I don't know. But it says in the Shulchan Aruch it's preferable to daven in Beis HaMedrash over a Beis HaKnesses. Right. But in the shul they also do lots of learning.
Right, but so this concept of Minyan Ma'at is just a colloquial term?
No, that's by Beis HaKnesses. And
but it's saying here that why
Beis HaMedrash is preferable because it's all.
Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu was there.
Right.
So it's Beis HaKnesses.
Right.
It doesn't say it's in the shul.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know, it's an interesting point.
Doesn't it talk to the Shema a lot, but it's not interesting to hear about the priority of davening interpretation of drash is not a part of that discussion. How can we support that idea of davening with
the drash? The Gemara says it's based on the idea of Ein lo kadosh baruch hu ba'olam ha'daram ha'shalacha. The Shema Rabin of Al-Tfil is to daven in shul in general rather than davening in a house. But the fact of davening based on medrash over a shul is Ein lo kadosh baruch hu ba'olam ha'daram. Anyway, but from the fact that the poskim, from the fact that the Ramah says, well, Beis HaMedrash is preferable to davening with the tzibur, from the fact that Mishkanes Yaakov said, well, davening in a shul is preferable to davening with the tzibur, you see that they're willing to get involved in this cheshbon, which one has a better chance of being answered. And from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch and the Tzlach are more hesitant to do so, no, davening with a minyan takes precedence over everything else, seems to indicate to us that they're arguing about whether or not there is a chiyuv, or it's just a priority, which is a lemaisa machlokas between Rav Moshe and the Emek Bracha, how we should approach the obligation of davening with a tzibur. There are many nafgaminas, differences halacha lemaisa with regards to this shayla. Rav Moshe was asked, let's say a person has more kavana if he davens biyachidus. Let's say he's going to go to shul, and so many things disturb him about the shul. It's an ugly shul, it smells, people are not dressed appropriately. He doesn't like the shul, it stares his kavana. So should he daven at home? The yechidus will have much more kavana. Is that preferable then to daven? Well, he should find a shul which he likes and doesn't bother him so much. So, but if he can't find a shul, there's only one shul in town and he can't stand davening there, so he won't have as much kavana, so does he have to go to shul? Maybe it's preferable to daven in the house. So Moshe writes, not surprisingly, that no, he has to go to shul. There's a chiyuv to daven with a minyan. That was Ramosha's approach. However, others disagree with Rav Moshe. Why? Because Rav Chaim in the Sefer and the Rambam asks a famous contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in one place in Hilchos Tefillah that if a person doesn't have Kavana for Shmona Esrei, so he only has to go back and repeat the Shmona Esrei if he didn't have Kavana in the first three brachas of Shmona Esrei. But if he didn't have Kavana later on in the Shmona Esrei, let's say Bahashivenu, Baruch Aleinu, he didn't have Kavana, he doesn't have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei, only if he didn't have Kavana in the first three brachas. But then the Rambam elsewhere in Hilchos Tefillah writes that if you didn't have Kavana anywhere in the Shmona Esrei, then you have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. So Reb Chaim asks a contradiction. Is it that you didn't have Kavana only in the first three brachas you have to go back, or if you didn't have Kavana anywhere in Shmona Esrei you have to go back? So here's a contradiction. So Reb Chaim explains that the Rambam in each place is talking about a different type of Kavana. When the Rambam said you don't have to go back, you only have to go back if you didn't have Kavana in the first three brachas of Shmona Esrei, he's discussing Perush Hamiros. I didn't concentrate on what the words mean. That's only critical and essential in the first three brachas of Shmona Esrei. The rest of Shmona Esrei, if I didn't concentrate on what Baruch Aleinu meant, what Moedim meant, you don't have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. When the Rambam said, if you didn't have Kavana anywhere in Shmona Esrei, you have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei, he was not talking about Perush Hamiros, he's talking about the fact that I have Kavana, that I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, davening to him. If I forget about that, I forget where I am, I forget that I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the Rambam writes, this is what Reb Chaim explained, that anywhere you are in Shmona Esrei, you have to go back. Why? Because then I forgot that I'm davening. Then you're not davening. The definition of davening is, the meat and potatoes of davening is what? Is Kavana. If you don't have Kavana, for the fact that I'm standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam, asking for him for things, so then you didn't daven. So some argue, if that's the case, that Kavana is the meat and potatoes of davening. So then, perhaps if I have more kavana, if I'm davening b'yachidus, that is the whole definition of davening. Perhaps that should take precedence over davening b'tzibur. Rav Shechter likes to call davening b'tzibur the icing on the cake. That's his formulation of the Emek Bracha's approach. Is that davening with a minyan is the icing on the cake, but not the cake itself. What is the cake itself? To use his imagery. What is the cake itself? The cake itself is kavana. So therefore, Rav Shechter's argued that if you have more kavana, if you're going to daven b'yachidus, so then maybe we should try and have kavana in shul. But if you're going to have more, change your seat, do something, find a different shul. But if you're going to have kavana, more kavana by davening b'yachidus, so maybe that's preferable to davening in the shul, because that's the icing on the cake, whereas the kavana perhaps is the cake itself. There are many, I'm sorry, yeah? I'm just pointing out, what you see from what Chaim is explaining, is that the essence of what davening is, the definition of davening, is kavana. Right. Is that because you won't have kavana the second time either? Right. That's a different issue.
Well, we said the hekbet is only about the first bracha, actually, right? Of the day, only the first, not the first three.
First three. First three, I think.
First three.
Also, okay, we'll get to that in a second. But there are many tzaddikim in many Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. It's not that well publicized, but who daven b'yechidus every day. Certain yeshivas, Rosh Yeshivas, and they come to shul just for Kriyas HaTorah. So perhaps what they, I never, you know, many people know about it. I don't know if many people understand what it's based on, but maybe what they're basing themselves on is that they feel they have more kavana davening b'yechidus, and therefore they would prefer to daven b'yechidus rather than davening with the minyan, and they come in for Kriyas HaTorah. However, to temper that, the Sefer of Hanhogas of Reb Chaim Volozhiner called the Keser Rosh, so it says that the Reb Chaim Volozhiner said he never missed a minyan from the time of his bar mitzvah till the day that he died. He never missed a minyan. So, okay, so you have these two trends of thought as to whether, and it seems to be Machlokes HaRishonim, Machlokes HaPoskim, whether or not davening with a minyan is a chiyuv, is an obligation, and it trumps kavana, or it's equal to kavana in terms of figuring out where to daven, or whether it is a priority, in which case kavana might take precedence. This also is relevant for, we're now standing on the precipice of the vacation season. And people, when they're planning the vacations, so always you have the cheshbon, well, I'm going to go to a place, but there's not going to be any minyan there. Are you allowed to go on a vacation knowing in advance that there won't be a minyan? So they quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, which is a newer Sefer, a psukim from Shlomo Zalman, that he said you should not go in advance, you should not go on a vacation to a place where you know in advance is not going to be a minyan. If you go to a business trip, you have to go there anyway. Then we have the cheshbon, well, if it's 50 minutes away, if it's 20 minutes away, more than 20 minutes away, you don't have to go. That's if you're stuck. But you should, how can you go knowing in advance that there's no minyan there? But in the back of the Sefer of Halicha Shlomo, they have Ha'aris from his son-in-law. So you can never trust the son-in-law. So the son-in-law is Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, one of the major poskim in Eretz Yisrael now. So Reb Zalman Nechemia argues with his father-in-law, and he says, no, you can go on vacation to a place even knowing that there's not going to be a minyan there. So it could be that they're also, again, arguing about this issue. If Shlomo Zalman held, if it's a chiyuv to daven with a minyan, how can you go on a vacation to a place knowing that there's no minyan there? But if davening with a minyan is a priority, that I should try and, if I want my tefillah to be accepted, I should daven with a minyan. So yeah, it's a good idea to plan that there's a minyan over there where I'm going on vacation. But if I have other cheshbonos, we have lots of cheshbonos in life. So if I have other cheshbonos, why I want to go to this place or that place, and when I get there, there's no opportunity to daven with a minyan, okay. So it's not that I put myself in a situation where I'm going to give up on a mitzvah. Perhaps it's not a mitzvah necessarily to daven with a minyan. In the verse, it's a priority. Shabbos is different. Shabbos, you have the Mikra'i Kodesh. Very good point, right. If you're going to be there for Shabbos, the Ramban said daven with a minyan on Shabbos, Mikra'i Kodesh. So that's that might be a mitzvah midaraisa. Shabbos and Yantav might be different. But during the week, certainly, you have that was what Zalman Nechemia said. This is also relevant for many other issues, just to name a few other. Masikin is one. But what comes up every night, at least in the wintertime, is people come home from work, let's say, and they want to eat supper. The problem is some communities have a minyan of Maariv every half an hour, but if you're in a community, we don't have that, so you have two minyanim for Maariv usually. You have one minyan Bizman and one minyan late Maariv. So the guy's going to come home from work and he wants to eat supper. But you're not supposed to eat supper before you daven Maariv. Everybody wakes up on the Leil B'dikas Chametz, or comes Chanukah time, and everyone's asking, can I eat supper before lighting Chanukah candles? Can you eat supper before B'dikas Chametz? The real halacha is formulated in Shulchan Aruch is by Maariv. You're not allowed to sit down to a meal when the time for Maariv has come. What do people rely on? How does everybody eat supper before Maariv? They rely on kulis. They rely on the fact, well, I have a shomer. What shomer? I don't know. You have to have a shomer. Oh, I dominate a minyan kavua, so you have to dominate a minyan kavua. People rely on different kulas in order to eat supper before Maariv. But you need a kula. You need a kula. So some have suggested, okay, so let's say I come home, a guy comes home from work, he wants to eat supper. Let's say he doesn't have a shomer. I'm sorry. Right, he doesn't have a shomer, he doesn't daven in a minyan kavua. So maybe what he can do is daven b'yechidus at home, and then eat supper. Because eating before Maariv is a real halacha. That's a halacha psuka. You're not allowed to sit down for a meal before Maariv. Davening with a minyan is a priority. I want my tefillah to be answered. Yeah, but I also don't want to eat before Maariv, and he wants to eat supper at a normal hour. So can he eat supper now? How's he going to eat supper now? He'll daven b'yechidus before supper rather than eating before Maariv and going to the late Maariv. So some have suggested, yeah, it's preferable. The easy solution is just say, you can be machmer and everything. Say, no, you wait to eat supper till 10:30. You can't say that. But maybe you don't have to. If davening with a minyan is a real chiyuv, that's what you'd have to say. You have to wait till the ma'ariv minyan comes to eat supper, or rely on the kulas if the minyan kavua or a shomer. But if davening with a minyan is a priority, so then perhaps you should daven be a chidus and then eat supper, because if davening with a minyan is just what my tefillah should be answered, and this is you know, the meat and potatoes is not to eat before davening, so then perhaps that would take precedence.
Shema is daraisa anyway.
Shema is daraisa, yeah. Shema is daraisa. So you can't eat before Shema either. No, so I'm saying no, but so no, he'll daven be a chidus and accomplish that. But the question is though, should he rely on? Can he daven be a chidus in order to eat supper at a normal time? I mean, is that a legitimate question, or is that's ridiculous? What is you have a mitzvah here and you can't eat before the mitzvah, so then of course you have to wait to eat supper later. This is also the issue. This is the issue that the first two tshuvas in the Pri Yitzchak. Yeah, we don't have time for that. We'll end off with the following shayla that Ramosha was asked, which was from the yeshiva guy who didn't have, who felt that he learned better in the middle of the night. So he stays up till, 4 o'clock in the morning learning. And then you say to him, where were you in the morning? He said, no, I was up learning till 4 o'clock in the morning. So I couldn't wake up on time, so he's going to miss davening with a minyan. So Ramosha was asked, can he learn till 4 o'clock in the morning knowing that he's going to miss, that's the best time that he learns, knowing that he's going to miss minyan in the morning? So Ramosha writes, and again, this is not surprising, Ramosha writes, no, davening with a minyan is a chiyuv, and you're picking a time to learn in the middle of the night, that's the best time you learn, that's a nice idea, but davening with a minyan is a chiyuv, which you have to work around. But I believe everyone there would agree, again, as we began, davening with a minyan, whether it's an obligation or priority, is clearly the right thing to do. And people have to plan their schedules as such, in order to make sure that they can daven with a minyan. It's the right thing to do. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, the Mishnah says, Shabbos, we say it every morning, so one of them is Hashkama Shachris V'Arvis. So Hashkama Shachris, we know what that is. People get up early in the morning. What is Hashkama Arvis? He comes on time for Arvis. Why not Minchat? So the Chiddushi Arim explains that it's not that he comes on time for Ma'ariv, it means he goes to sleep on time. He goes to sleep on time in order so that he'll get up for Minyan in the morning. That people have to plan their schedules. They can't wake up and say, oh, now's the nightness, I can't go to shul. No, you have to plan, says the Chiddushi Arim, what a person is supposed to do is plan his schedule around going to shul. It's the right thing to do, either way. Whether it's an obligation or a priority, it's the right thing to do. And we should try and do so. Who wouldn't want to have their tefillahs have a better chance of being answered? Hey, but according to Rav Moshe, it's a mitzvah. But even if it's not a mitzvah, who doesn't want to give their chance, it feels a better chance of being answered? So we should plan our schedules around davening with a minyan.